take your Bible and turn to James chapter number 3. James chapter 3, this will be lesson number 31 on the subject of destructive behavior. And tonight is the second half of last week's lesson. Last week we started a lesson about gossip or the tongue. This week we will conclude that lesson, James chapter number 3. Once you find James 3, find verse 1, and then stand with me real quick, and I'm going to read a good handful, maybe as many as 11, 12 verses here. James chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this, "My brethren," now let me say right off the bat, the word brethren there, it's talking about Christians. So God's not about to address lost people, although lost people could learn from what's about to be said. But he's specifically saying, Christians, pay attention. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever ever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we study the Scripture. Help us to be better because we came to church tonight. Lord, the tongue can be so destructive, and you know it. And yet, it can be so productive if used properly. Help each of us to control our tongues. Help us to realize you said, set on fire of hell. Oh my, how destructive. And yet, if used properly, people can be saved and lives can be changed and eternity can be altered. Help us to use our tongues properly, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Again, this is part number 2 of a lesson that I started last week. And we were talking about the tongue. If you'll remember last week, I used a little illustration. We're not going to use it again this week. But sometimes we just need to be quiet. We let our mouths run and our tongues. We say things that we should not say, and we say things in a way that we should not say them. And I told you, when I was growing up, I heard my mother say, "Put a sock in it." And she was telling me to keep my mouth shut. And I explained to you why we say, "Put a sock in it." And now, I think sometimes the best thing said is nothing. There are times when we just shouldn't say anything and we ought to be quiet. But God now, here in James chapter 3, it's a very interesting passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible open there, you don't have to. But in James chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse number 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all." Now God's talking about offenses. "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." And that is not talking about someone that is 100% purified and sinless. It's talking about a complete person. It's talking about somebody that's got it together. But it says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." And now God goes on to comparing. He talks about putting a bit in a horse's mouth, and they will obey, and you can control the whole body by doing that. Well, what God is saying is, if we can control our mouths, then we can control our bodies. The tongue, it said, it's a little member, it's a little part of the body, but boy, it boasteth great things and it causes great things. God goes on and compares the tongue then. He talks about the helm, the steering device on a ship. He said that little steering device can maneuver that great big ship. And if you've ever been on a boat, you ever been on a ship, when you go to guide that ship, it doesn't take that much to turn the ship. And the tongue is like the steering device of the entire body. God goes on and he says some pretty heavy things about our speech and our tongue. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's heavy language, and God's warning us about our words and how we talk. He says, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And you say, what's that talking about? Our tongues lead us to many defiling behaviors. The tongue often leads people into more immoralities. Most people don't have immorality unless they talk first. The tongue leads us to hurting one another. A brother and sister, or a brother and brother that get in a fight, they exchange words before they got into that fight. Husbands and wives that are not getting along, they exchange words. Things were said that shouldn't have been said, and that's where that harm or injury or the negative comes from. So it even goes on to say, and it is set on fire of hell. And so here God's talking about the source of this bad language and talk. God said, you can trace its roots to hell. And who is that then? That's the devil. He tells us, he says, for every kind of beast, the birds, the serpents, we tame them. But for some reason, we won't tame our tongue. And I love, the Bible is such a practical book. Speaking of the Bible, he talks about it being an unruly evil and full of poison. In other words, when you use your tongue wrong, when you say wrong things and talk about wrong things, God calls it poison. And poison does damage. Poison hurts people. But he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. God said that somebody will bless God and then turn around and curse people. There are all sorts of people that do that. They'll walk into church, say amen on Sunday, and by Monday morning they're cussing and they're talking bad about people. And God said it ought not be that way. He's talking about being hypocritical with your behavior. He's talking about maybe even being two-faced, being spiritual down at the church house, and then living sinfully away from the church. He said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So God's talking to us about the tongue. And he's talking to us, and I call the lesson gossip, but it really has to do with the tongue, our words, and what we say. God considers it destructive. He calls it poison. He talks about it being full of evil. And we studied the subject of evil and what evil does and what evil's like. Now, I'm going to review real quickly. I'll remind you of the handful of points that I made last week. And then we'll conclude tonight with some new material about the tongue and how we use our words. Last week, I said, number one, watch out for the lying tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The word abomination means it's something that God hates intensely. It's big. And so, watch out. Don't have a lying tongue. Then watch out for the flattering tongue. Don't you be one that flatters. In Jude chapter 1, verse 16, it says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And flattery is basic and insincere praise. The Bible talks about in Job 32, verse 21 and 22, it says this, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away. Flattery is just an insincere praise. It's virtually a lie with intent. You're trying to get something out of it. And so watch the flattering tongue. Watch the lying tongue. Watch manipulation in your speech. Watch the manipulating tongue. If you'll remember correctly, last week we talked about how Delilah had manipulated Samson And as a result of it, Samson loses his power. There's manipulation. And manipulation is just it's skillful influence with unfair reasons. And so watch that manipulation. Then, the hasty tongue. We shouldn't be hasty with our tongue. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 20, it says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." So God's talking about our being hasty. Just remember, I said this last week, think, then talk. Don't talk and then think. Think about what you say. Think about what it will cause. Think about whether how you say it. Think before you talk. And God said, when you're hasty with your words, there's more hope of a fool than of you. I would say that it causes, I think even in a church, hastiness causes a lot of issues. If God's people would get wisdom and think before they talk, learn to use caution in their talk, it would help so many things. I think most of us that's ever said anything to another Christian or another person in the church that we shouldn't have, it's because we talk too quickly. If you have something harsh to say, it might be good that you don't say it today. Say it tomorrow. You say, well, I might lose my edge. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose. And so, watch the hasty tongue. Watch the manipulating tongue. Watch the flattering tongue. Watch the lying tongue. Then there is a divisive tongue. The Bible says in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And boy, we could go to verse after verse after verse that back up these different descriptions of the tongue, but just being divisive. And remember, here it's talking about being a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. There are some people, just in conversation, they cause division. They just cause division. And they want to. They want to cause division between people. And they admit, maybe it is, they're evil, and they enjoy that. But God said that we ought to be peacemakers, and we should be careful with our tongue. Then there's the arguing tongue. The arguing tongue. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Now, here we go again. God is comparing the misuse of the tongue to foolishness. And it talked about cease from strife. We shouldn't be arguing all the time. Husbands and wives shouldn't be arguing all the time. Parents, children, you shouldn't be arguing with your parents. I think even today in the workforce, there are people that want to argue with their bosses, and people want to argue with police officers. I don't think there ought to be arguing. First of all, I think there could be calm conversation where if an exchange needs to take place, it does, but it's done like a Christian would do it. Proverbs 17:14 says, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." And here's God's talking about contention. And just so you know, the Bible also says that usually following contention comes blows. And when it's talking about blows, it's talking about hitting people. And you don't usually find two people fighting physically where they would hit one another coming to blows unless their mouth was involved. The mouth brings it on. So put a sock in it. Learn how to control your mouth. It ought not be that Christians are coming to blows ever, but watch the arguing tongue. Then the boasting tongue is taught in the Bible. People that boast. The Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 2 says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." You say, "Pastor, if I followed that scripture, I'd never get praised." I'm sorry for you. You say, all the people that know me won't praise me. It even says here, maybe a stranger. You know, maybe the people that know you won't praise you. And maybe a stranger drops by and just happens to notice something good. But God said, don't you praise you. Don't you praise you. I think that this, of course, is talking about pride. And remember, we've heard the verse over and over again, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now we see that destructive element when we are boasting with our words, when we're praising ourselves, we're lifting ourselves up. If we lift ourselves up, God said that goes right before destruction. And so we should be careful not to be boasting or have a prideful tongue. Then we last week, and this is the last point from last week, and then we'll get into some new scripture and things for this week. Number 8, the slandering tongue. And the Bible talks about slander. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." Now, this is the third time the misuse of the tongue has been compared or used in reference to being a fool or foolish. The Bible teaches there are three levels of people. There's the simple person. It's somebody that really doesn't know all about the Bible. They're simple to it. They're kind of a blank page concerning the truth. So there's a simple person. Then the Bible says there's a wise person. A wise person is somebody that knows the Bible and that lives the Bible. Then there's the foolish person. The foolish person is somebody that knows better and they do wrong anyway. So the wise knows what to do and they do it. The simple, they don't really know what to do. And the fool, they know what to do, but they won't do it. And there's a big difference in the three. Now, here you're being compared to a fool. You know, most everybody, the younger you are, probably the less you've learned about controlling your tongue. But the older you are, the more you know to put a sock in it. The older people, they ought to know to control their mouth. And you start with the oldest people, they ought to control their mouth a lot. And with children, teenagers, they're learning. I know at my house, I learned to put a sock in it pretty quick. My mom and dad, we there wasn't a whole lot of talking that went on. When I was told to be quiet, it was time to be quiet. I probably only sassed my parents two times in the 18 years I lived in their house. And I could tell you stories about those two times to this day. I've not forgotten it. But listen, the Bible tells us that we need to be careful with our tongue, and he compares it over and over again to foolishness. Now, slander, that's where we're damaging someone else's reputation. We're attacking their character. We're attacking their good name. We want to belittle them. We want to tear them down to someone. Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3 says, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." And all that, those negatives there in verse number 3 have to do with slander. Notice also that when it talks about these words, it's talked about speaketh the truth in his heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what you have in your heart in abundance is what will come out of your mouth sooner or later. See, if you have evil in your heart, evil's going to come out of your mouth. If you have purity in your heart, if you have goodness in your heart, if you have true praise in your heart, then I think it will come out. Whatever is in your heart in abundance, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. If you talk filthy constantly, if you're just a filthy talker, there's some people, they don't do it at church, but at work they're cussing, at home they're cussing. Let me tell you something, that means you've got that filth in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're trying to hurt people, it means there's slander in your heart. So God talks about slander being the behavior of a fool, and slander is done with the mouth. Slander is the damaging of a reputation, a character, a name. You said something about someone, you wanted them slammed in the hearer's presence or in their thinking. All right, now we're gonna go into some new material. I'll call this number 9 because it's a continuation from last week. The gossiping tongue. the gossiping tongue. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly." And might I say, the word talebearer, it's talking about a gossip. It's someone that's taking a tale and passing it on. You heard a tale. Now you're going to pass that tale on. It doesn't have to be true. It could be a lie. It could be true. But notice it says there about the gossip or the talebearer that they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. I'll tell you something. When people start gossiping about you, it could upset your stomach. It could get so bad. It talks about it goes into the innermost parts of the belly. I really think that may be teaching that when you get talked about, it'll upset you. And nobody wants people going around talking about them. Now, the word gossip, it doesn't show up in the Bible. It is a word that actually, the word gossip is a term that comes from the bar or the tavern scene. To find out where the juicy or what the juicy rumors were, people would go down to the bar, folks would drink their beer, drink their whiskey, and when you're drunk, you spill your guts. People say things when they're drunk that they wouldn't say when they're sober. So the word gossip came from let's go sip. Go sip. You go sip booze and it loosens the tongue. And if you want to know what's going on, you want to know what's going on in New Bern? Go down and sit at a bar where everybody's drinking and people's mouth will be just flapping and they'll be talking about all sorts of things. You say, you really believe that? Oh, sure, I do. You say, well, I gossip and I don't need booze. Well, you're probably drunk on rebellion then. And I could probably do a little Bible study with you on that too. Being, you don't have to just be drunk on booze. You can be drunk on other things. You can be drunk on pride. But the word gossip comes from go sip. They would go sip. They would go sip their ale down in London, and you would hear what was going on in town, and you could hear the stories or the tales. Now, the Bible uses the word tale bearer, one that hears a tale, and they go bear it, they spread it to other people. Remember, I said this last week. I want to say it again this week. Somehow we think that if we spread a rumor or if we spread information and it's true, then it's okay. And I disagree with that. I don't think you ought to be talking about, hey, somebody's got a fault and you want to go talk about it and you say, but it's true. It's true. Listen, that doesn't mean it's okay to spread. And the way I applied it last week is, do you know that God knows everything about you? God knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows all the things you've done. Now, if you really think that it's okay to spread true things about people, then maybe God should tell everybody everything about you. But He doesn't. He doesn't do that. So, remember, gossip, gossip. Then, number 10, the meddling tongue. The meddling tongue. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Busybodies. What's meddling? That's being involved in other people's affairs where you don't belong. Listen, I think everyone I think we ought to care about each other. I think we ought to want to help each other, but I don't think everybody ought to have their nose in everybody else's business. And so you all know today with Facebook and social media, everybody's opening up all their business about everything to everybody, and I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. But it talking about a busybody, that's someone that's going around sticking their nose into everybody else's business. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer." Before I read the rest of the verse, let me point something out. Murder sounds like a pretty devastating behavior. A thief. I was talking about somebody that could get thrown in jail. You know, in Bible times, there were some cultures where if someone stole, they'd cut their hands off, keep them from stealing. It goes on to be, it uses the word evildoer. And remember, there's a difference in sin and evil. Someone that's evil is out to destroy someone else. I can't believe this. Now listen to 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, really bad thing, or a thief, a bad thing, or as an evildoer, bad thing, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Do you know that God, in a list with murder, lists busybodies? Somebody's got to have their nose in everybody else's business. You know, they want to eavesdrop. They want to know what's going on. And then, usually, most busybodies are also gossips or talebearers. They stick their nose in somebody else's business. Then they tell someone else business that they had no business being involved in the first place. But busybodies, always running around trying to find out what's going on. Hey, and listen, we have our men's prayer breakfast. And at the men's prayer breakfast, we take prayer requests. I do not know that one time in all these years we've ever had a prayer request where someone raised their hand and started revealing other people's business. I think that's a bad idea. That's one reason why here at the end of the night when we have prayer requests, I'll say, is there unspoken requests? And a lot of people put their hands up. You know what? Sometimes those are requests that the whole congregation doesn't need to know about the situation. We just need to pray. You say, well, why would we even raise our hand if we're not going to tell everybody what it is? God knows what it is. God sees that hand. But don't you be a busybody. Don't you be going around getting your nose in everybody else's business. Hey, let me say something. Let me say something to every lady in here that works in nurseries and with the little ones in Sunday school. Kids don't know not to say certain things. When kids say certain things, it really none of your business about at home or something. Could I recommend you get amnesia real quick? That you not dwell on that and think on that and stick your nose in where it does not belong? Busy bodies, just looking to get involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in. And and I think it finds its roots in the tongue. We want to talk about it. All right, so tonight we said, number one, watch the gossiping tongue. And then watch the meddling tongue. And God uses the term busybodies. And then watch betraying with your tongue or become disloyal with your tongue. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, look, if somebody robs a bank, I'm going to tell on you, okay? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a disloyal tongue. Here it says it talks about having a faithful spirit. You are faithful in spirit to someone, and you're not a talebearer. You're not revealing secrets. And what's that talking about? Again, it's talking about private issues, things that it's not anybody's business. Watch out. This betraying tongue could be the backstabbing tongue. It could be two-faced people. And you ought not be two-faced. Don't be one thing to somebody and then turn around and change what you are in the presence of somebody else. Look, if you're someone's friend, be their friend. If you're not, at least be honest enough to tell them that you're not. But don't facade as a friend. You shouldn't ever do that. I have to tell you, I've been in church leadership for a long time. I've been doing it a long time. But I'll tell you, there are people that would, through the years, I've watched people say, oh, preacher, I just love you. I just think the world of you. And I know 2 hours later, they were down at McDonald's talking bad behind my back. You know something? I'm a big boy. If you don't like me, tell me. But don't be two-faced with me. Don't be two-faced with me. By the way, you're two-faced with God, too. But it's talking about a betraying tongue. And in America today, I'm really sad. I have to tell you all, I'm loyal to America. I love this country. Now, I love God ultimately, but I'm going to tell you, this is my country. I love America. I love that flag. I love what this country stands for. In America today, you got a big element of people that are disloyal to their country. If they want to be disloyal to the country, I'm good with it. Here's what I think they ought to do. Leave. Find the nation they want to be in. Let them go to Haiti. I could give them some places to go that would help them to appreciate what we have here. And I thank God for our forefathers and a bunch of good military people that have given us a free nation. But that betraying tongue, I realize in America we have freedom of speech, but I've got to tell you something. I don't think freedom of speech was ever intended so people could turn around and cut their own country's throat and talk bad about God. I don't think that's how God intended that to be. But it's a betraying tongue. Number 12, the corrupting tongue. And again, we're talking about the misuse of our tongue. A corrupting tongue, where corrupt things are coming out of the mouth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." In other words, if I'm going to say something, it ought to make somebody better. I ought to be saying to edify, to lift up, to encourage, to make them better, or to make a situation better. And God said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Then he turns around and tells us the opposite of that is you saying things that edify, educate, make people better, better spiritually, better socially, better emotionally. Did you know that something that is corrupting, it's rotting? Do your words cause things to begin to deteriorate and to rot? Are you a corrupter? Don't be a corrupter of God's work. Don't be a corrupter of God's people. Folks, corrupt communication, it's talking about something that it causes things to begin to rot. And when things begin to rot, they begin to smell. When things begin to rot, they become weak. When things begin to rot, they begin to fall apart. I know marriages that just need to stick a sock in it. We criticize, husbands criticize wives, and wives criticize husbands. It's not doing any good. It's not making your mate any better. What you're doing is you're corrupting the relationship. You say, well, our relationship stinks. Well, if you're corrupting it, corrupt communication brings rot. Rot brings it makes it putrid or stinky. It weakens it, and it deteriorates, and eventually it becomes useless. And that's what corrupt communication creates. Then, so we said, watch the gossiping tongue. We said, watch the meddling tongue, the busybody's tongue. Watch the betraying tongue. Watch the corrupting tongue. And then, oh, I need this one. Watch having a know-it-all tongue. A know-it-all tongue. The Bible says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Oh, this would be associated with a proud tongue or a proud heart. Be careful. Be careful that you don't give the impression that you know it all. I got to tell you, I meet people all the time. I can go to, there's certain people, I can go to counsel them, but they already know. They already know. Oh yeah, I already know that. Oh, I already know this. I already know that. Then why seek counsel? Since you already know it all, everybody ought to be coming to you. So there are some people you just can't advise them because they already know. Children can get this way. I already know. I already know. I already know. Be careful. The know-it-all tongue. The heart of fools proclaim their foolishness. Listen, I think it's probably a good idea to hear out what's being said. Hey, and every once in a while, even if you already know it, maybe you ought to listen again. You know, it's possible that you may have heard something before, but you're not living it. The issue may not be whether it's in your brain. Maybe is it in your character? Is it a part of you? Are you doing it? But watch that tongue that already knows and already has that information, and I don't have to learn that. So I'm going to go to one more, and then I'm going to give you just a couple of scriptures about the tongue to cap everything off. Watch having a harsh tongue. A harsh tongue. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." It's not what you say many times, it's how you say it. There's way too much harshness with husbands and wives. You know, there are things a husband could say to his wife or a wife could say to their husband if it was said gently. Let me tell you something. You want to say something harsh to your spouse? Make sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost before you do it. But you probably weren't. That's why you were harsh. The Holy Spirit will lead you to obey the Scripture. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you're going to do what the Scripture would lead you to do. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. I'm going to tell you a story. I may have told this before, but I like telling it. I had a lady chew me out once. Man, a Bible school was going on. A handful of assistant pastors and myself, we were standing all the way out of the auditorium. The auditorium was full, and there was a group up singing. And to be honest, the myself and a few assistant pastors, we were kind of giggling, and we were totally out of view of the auditorium. Well, the group that was up there singing, they got done, and the night went on. All the way at the end of the night, it was all over with. There was a lady standing outside my office door, and this happened 15 years ago. And she stepped in, and I mean, she gave it to me. She said, "While that group was up there singing, you were in the hallway and you were back there giggling and talking with those men." She said, "I cannot believe that you would behave that way." I can't remember the words she used, but I mean, she was raising her voice. She was screaming. She had her hands on her hips, and she just flat out told me off. And it was near cussing, and she was angry. Now, in my heart, my first thought was, I'm going to lay her out. And I'll tell you what, I had the presence of mind, and this is what I said. I said, "I am so sorry." I said, I'm sorry. "I am sorry that I've let you down. I'm sorry that you had to come in here and discipline me. I apologize." And then she said, "I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have disciplined you." I said, "No, it's okay." She left. I could have started a fight. I disarmed a fight. Do you know, I probably accomplished something better with the way I handled it. Because she came to her pastor's office and disciplined me. I wasn't even in the service about which she was concerned. I wasn't even in it. But she just gave it to me. Now, I've not always responded that way, just so you all know. I don't always have the presence of mind to handle it that way. But a soft answer turned away the wrath. But grievous words, they stir up anger. The way you raise your voice when you're attacking in the volume, when there's a demeanor about people that it's harsh, it's mean, it's angry. Boy, you all need to understand something. The average person does not walk in the Spirit. When you get nasty, they're coming back at you. So now you got two people that are in the flesh, fighting in the flesh. You might as well be a couple of Dobermans fighting over a pork chop in the backyard. Because that's how you're acting. You're acting like animals. It's rare that you're going to tear into somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost. And they'll respond and they can disarm the thing. So, watch the harsh tongue. A rudeness, no compassion, no tenderness. people that don't they don't know how to downshift with their mouth. So be very, very careful. Now, give me about 4 or 5 minutes and I'll be done. Here's what we've talked about. The last 2 weeks, the lying tongue, the flattering tongue, the manipulating tongue, the hasty tongue, the divisive tongue, the arguing tongue, the boastful tongue, the slandering tongue, the gossiping tongue, the meddling tongue, the betraying tongue, the corrupt tongue, the know-it-all tongue, and the harsh tongue. Now, let me give you two or three verses and we'll be done. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When somebody's slandering and arguing and being hateful, it's pretty hard to have the praise of God in your mouth at the same time. If you are praising God, you're less apt to misuse your tongue. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, notice, said seasoned with salt. You do understand that when you season something with salt, you sprinkle a little. You don't take the whole salt shaker, take the lid off of it, and pour the whole thing into what you're eating, do you? You don't do that. Season with salt. Now, it says, let your speech be always with grace. What we say is to have a graciousness to it. You say, but I'm right and they're wrong. The human race is wrong, period. We're a bunch of low-down, good-for-nothing, rotten, scum-of-the-earth sinners that are only saved because of the grace of a merciful God. And when man begins to stand in judgment on man, he better be careful, because the only one that deserves to judge is God. So, let your speech be always with grace. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, it's pretty hard, but it's in the Bible, so we need to face it. It should be what we're striving for. Psalm chapter 49, verse number 3 says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. Hey, before you talk, meditate in your heart. Husband and wife, you're going to have a heart-to-heart? You better meditate with wisdom in your heart before your mouth kicks in gear. There's a right and wrong way to do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, there's two words here I want to point out to you. Let me read it again. I'll point out the two words. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. The words, all things. You say, what's that mean? In the Greek, it means all things. All things, without murmurings and disputings. Okay, let's go on. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 and 7 says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and the wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Notice, we're to speak excellent things. If I'm going to open my mouth, it's going to be something that's right. And my mouth is going to speak truth. And wickedness is going to be an abomination to my mouth. One more verse, Psalm 139, verse number 4, it says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, that thou knowest it altogether. So you all know, everything you say, God knows. He hears it all. Now, if you were standing in the presence of God, would you be talking like that? Would you say what you say? Would you say it the way you say it? Would you talk to your wife the way you talk to her if Jesus were standing right there? Would you treat her that way? Would you talk to your husband that way if Jesus were standing there? You say, well, I would. He's liable to strike you down. There's a rebellion in our attitude. And God said, he said, there's nothing, the psalmist said, there's nothing that I say that God does not hear. I think one of the best songs in the whole wide world is, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. How you say it. To who you say it. Because God said, the tongue world of iniquity, set on fire of hell, full of deadly poison. The mouth can be included in the destructive behavior series quite easily because of everything that God says about it. Nations have gone to war because of words. Marriages destroyed because of words. Churches split and corrupted because of words. Satan spoke deceiving words to Eve, and the entire fall of mankind came because of the mouth. Lucifer rose up against God in heaven, and you have the fall of the angels because of that which was in his heart came out of his mouth. And he said, I will exalt myself above the very throne of God. What was that? Words. Our words can be very destructive. Hey, but on the other hand, words can be so good. They can be so encouraging. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let there be a personal challenge to you tonight that you would watch what you say, how you say it, to who you say it. Let's let our words be pure and honest and of good report. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I've been challenged. And I see there's some things that I've heard tonight that will help me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Hey, and remember this. We're not just talking about what comes out of your mouth. In this day and age, you got to think about texting and emails and Facebook and Twitter and all of that. You watch your words. The use of the lips are so, so important. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. If you need a moment at the altar, I want you to feel welcome to come. If you're harsh with your words, if you say things you should not, in ways that you should not, maybe you need to come to the altar. Are you an arguing person? Are you a slandering person? What's going on? What's coming out of your mouth? And remember, if it's coming out of your mouth, it's probably from the abundance of your heart. The pianist is going to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Are you a manipulator, a liar, a flatterer? Are you hasty, divisive, arguing? Are you a boaster, a slanderer, a gossip? Do you meddle? Are you a busybody? Do you betray? Or is there disloyalty in your words? Corrupt? A know-it-all or harsh? Hey, let his praise continually be in your mouth. Psalm 34:1. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Colossians 4:6. May our mouths speak with wisdom. Psalm 49:3. May we do all things without murmuring and disputings. Philippians 2:14. Proverbs 8:6 and 7. Speak excellent things. Right things. The truth. And may wickedness be an abomination to our lips. And remember Psalm 139:4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Ushers, if we have any prayer bulletins left, if you'll have them ready in case we need them. Remember, we put a bit in a horse's mouth and we can control his whole body. If you could control your mouth, you could control your body. You say, my body gets out of control. I have passions that get out of control. I get anger. I get to throw myself around. Control your mouth. Learn to control your mouth. A quick fix for self-control. Control the mouth, and the rest of the body parts can fall into place. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel.